And they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. The stories that we have in today's gospel happened right in the evening or the afternoon of the morning when they found the tomb empty. So a lot of things were happening on this one day. If you read the four gospels of the event, you'll find very busy, very busy. Lots of things happen, and some details in one account is not a present in the other and the like, but they don't contradict one another at all. But there were two of them, doesn't say if they were male or female, or perhaps a couple. Various people have said who those two were, but we don't know. But they were leaving to go to Emmaus, about 7 miles southwest of Jerusalem. And it says Jesus comes up to them. And in one translation, it says that he asked them, "Why are you so long-faced? Why are you so downcast and sad-looking? And your whole demeanor, everything is just sad, sad, sad." And they said, "Well, you must be the only one around who hadn't been here to know what happened. That this Jesus, who we thought was the one sent from God, the Messiah, that they killed him, and yet we have these eyewitness accounts that the tomb is empty, both women and then some of our own apostles." And we know from the gospel it was John and Peter who ran there. And they said, "The tomb is empty." And so then Jesus, it says, goes with them and explains to them from the prophets, from the Old Testament, why all of these things had to happen. Kind of what we call breaking open the scriptures. And we think of, like from Isaiah, writing about that this Messiah, when he would come, would go like a sheep to the shearer and to his slaughter. He would be silent, he would be peace-filled, and would not be causing a scene whatsoever. Or Isaiah also talking about that this one, the chosen one of God, would be scourged, and their back would be ripped open, and they would pluck at his beard and spit on him. All these images of what we call vicarious suffering for all of us, this one would bear the sufferings of others, so that this wonderful insight that these writings in the Old Testament gave an idea of what was to happen. We call that foreshadowing. Events here, foreshadowing later on. Peter refers to that when he talks about David, a prophet, who was given the promise that his kingdom would be forever. And David, a foreshadowing of the coming of Jesus, the Son of God, whose kingship would be forever. So this wonderful understanding that Scripture can be interpreted in this light. And again, I remind you that to kind of look at Scripture more than just here in church. I've said before that on your smartphones, you have Laudate. It's a wonderful app, L-A-U-D-A-T-E, and it's both Android and iPhones have that same app. Lots of prayers, scripture readings, the New and Old Testaments, everything there. You don't have to spend an hour and a half every day, but maybe just a few minutes here and there. The wonderful thing about Scripture is that wherever we are, we will usually find God's Word touching us exactly as we need to be touched. If we are sad, if we are down, if we are joy-filled, if we're happy, if we're concerned about family members or friends and the like, or personal illness, something in the process will touch us and kind of give us direction, vision, and lifting us up. The Word of God is powerful because it is the presence of God within His Word that comes into our hearts. going back then to the journey to Emmaus, they get to Emmaus, and Jesus acts like he's going on, and they say, stay with us for the night. And so they go get a room. Don't know if it was the Hilton DoubleTree Hotel or where, but they get a room there, and then they come down to dinner. And during the meal, it says that Jesus took the bread, and he broke it, and then poof, it was gone. Recall that when Jesus was with the 5,000 and plus women, plus children, so maybe 15,000 people, and he asked for things, and as we just talked about with Philip, they had the little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and it said our Lord prayed, and he blessed, and he broke the bread and distributed to them. At the Last Supper with his apostles, it said he took the bread and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body. And the cup in the same way blessed that and said, take and drink, this is my blood. We read here that Jesus broke the bread and gave it to them. We read in Paul's letter to Corinth, telling about the Last Supper event, about Jesus breaking the bread. And in the Acts of the Apostles, several other times. And in fact, last week in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, spoke about the followers of Jesus. They would get together, pray, and break bread. This term, over and over, means exactly what we're doing here at the altar. We're making present Jesus just as he did. So in a sense, that time span just flattens out. And we are today the same as it was 2,000 years ago, that we are breaking bread and distributing it, giving Christ's body to one another and to you and me. This wonderful gift that Christ is present, not only in his word that gives us life and energy and vision, but also in the very sustenance in ourselves, Christ truly present within us. We become Christ bearers in our life. And for this, we give thanks to God and joy filled in this time of Easter, as we indeed know him in the breaking of the bread and make present here this morning the breaking of the bread.